Welcome to the Our CAR T-Cell Journey podcast. We'll talk to real patients and their caregivers as they're going through this treatment that is providing hope where before there was little. I'm your host, Diane Windsor, and my son, Brendan, is a 20-year-old leukemia patient. We are very hopeful and optimistic that CAR T will save his life. Hello. Welcome to the show today. I am your host, Diane. And today is Sunday, October 14th, as I record this episode. I'm in Allen, Texas, which is about 20, 25 miles north of Dallas, and it has been a cold and dreary weekend so far. But that's okay, because October should be cool. It's fall. I wanted to start this podcast because my son Brendan is about to begin CAR T-cell therapy this month. And as I started looking around the internet, I wasn't able to find a lot of information for patients and their family members or other caregivers about this process and what we might expect. Of course, I will listen to what the doctors say. I'm not really one of those people who gets online and Googles everything about a medical, about what's going on with somebody medically or what may be going on with a symptom. I'm certainly not going to tell the doctors what I think they should do based on a Google search that I performed. But I wanted to see what I could expect from this treatment, what the outcomes could possibly be, what we could expect during the therapy, side effects, long-term effects, those kind of things. And as I was searching, what I really found was a lot of information really geared towards the medical community, which I'm not, obviously. I did find a great group on Facebook, and I joined that group, and those people have been extremely helpful. It's wonderful and so hopeful to read these people's stories. But I do know that, like me, a lot of people enjoy podcasts, so I thought I would go ahead and start one of my own. And the first couple of episodes, I'd like to provide some background and talk about Brendan's diagnosis, his leukemia, what we have tried so far, what his response has been, and why we are moving forward with CAR T. So, here is what I understand as a layperson about what CAR T-cell therapy is. Everybody has T-cells in our body. They are a type of blood cell. They're a white blood cell that fight infection. And so what they're going to do is they're going to extract Brendan's T-cells, his healthy T-cells, from his body. They're going to send them to a lab, and at that lab, these T-cells will be genetically modified to specifically attack Brendan's leukemia cells. Now, I say leukemia cells because Brendan has B-cell leukemia. He was actually diagnosed with B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia with a Philadelphia-like chromosome. So these modified T-cells, they are called chimeric antigen receptor T-cells, or CAR T-cells for short. They will attack all B-cells. And there are two types of B-cells still in Brendan's body, the leukemia B-cells, but also his regular B-cells, which contain antibodies and which help him fight diseases and infections, and specifically diseases that he was vaccinated for when he was very young. So measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, whooping cough, tetanus, all that good stuff. He was vaccinated for the chickenpox when he was little. So all of this is going to be attacked and removed from his body as well. So while the CAR T-cells are still within his system, he will have to receive infusions of antibodies, which is fine. Right now, the doctors think that that is the most significant long-term effect of the CAR T-cell therapy. Well, besides, of course, that it's going to kill the leukemia cells and save my kid's life. I mean, that's a pretty darn good side effect. So that's it in a nutshell. After about a month, the T-cells that were collected from his body and modified in a lab somewhere in New Jersey are going to be infused back into his body. It's only a very small amount of matter. It's about a tablespoon, is what the doctor told me. And it's going to go right into his port. He has a port because he received a lot of chemo, of course, to treat his leukemia. And then that's it. Now, the dicey part comes when, right after infusion of the CAR T cells, to about a month afterwards. Patients, about 75 to 80% of patients, can have some pretty serious side effects from receiving their CAR T cells. And the most common ones are high fever, shortness of breath, low blood pressure. There can be some neurotoxicity where the patient is confused, can't talk, could potentially have a seizure also. And this is because the body is responding to the CAR T cells because it believes that it's trying to fight an infection, which it is. So some patients will need to be hospitalized during this time. Anytime a cancer patient is running a fever, they want them to go to the hospital, and they're probably going to be admitted until the fever is gone. Until the patient is doing better, of course. Now, of the 75 to 80% of CAR T-cell patients that show these side effects and have to be admitted to the hospital for treatment, about 25% of those will need to go to the ICU because the symptoms become so serious that they have to be treated in the ICU. And I know it's scary, and I'm scared, but the doctors do expect that this could happen, and they know how to treat these symptoms. After that, the patient can do pretty much anything. So our timeline is looking like this. Today is October 14th. On Wednesday, the 18th, we're going to go into the hospital. This is all outpatient. We're going to go in, and Brendan is going to have a catheter put into his neck, into his jugular. That's how they're going to collect the T cells. Then they're going to send us home. The next day, oh no, wait, that's the 17th. Wednesday's the 17th. Thursday's the 18th. The next day on the 18th, we're going to go back to the hospital, and they're going to do the pheresis procedure, which is where they hook up that catheter to a centrifuge machine, and it pulls out all of the blood in his body, not at once, of course, but over time, and spins the blood around in the centrifuge really fast and pulls off those T cells that they need to collect. And I think it takes a while. Brendan had this earlier in his treatment too. He had pheresis performed, and it takes a good 3, 4, 5 hours. I think we're going to be in hospital all day. But again, it's outpatient. We're just going to be hanging out, and he'll be in his bed. He can't move, but that's okay. He can watch TV. And then the next day, they're going to make sure that they have collected enough T cells. And then we'll go back on Friday, and they're going to remove the catheter. That's just a bedside procedure. It's not a big deal. They don't have to knock him out to remove it or anything. And so then we wait a month to get the T cells back, and we're expecting that around the mid to end of November is when Brendan is going to have his infusion. So then possibly we can have these scary side effects between that time and 4 weeks after that. So December, towards the end of the year. But then we're looking at January, and he should be okay. He should be able to do anything he wants to do. Now, he's been going through chemo since June, and I'll get into his history in a moment here. I want to tell a story about, you know, his diagnosis and how everything kind of went down. But he'd been going through chemo since June. He had a 2-month hospital stay where he could hardly leave his bed. So, you know, he lost some strength. He's still kind of weak. He needs to get his strength back. That's what we're going to be focusing on. As soon as he starts getting some energy back, I'm hoping that he can just do some things that he enjoys. He talks about getting a job so he can make some money. And of course, move back to Minnesota. Those of you who know him know that he likes it up there. He's not crazy about the Dallas heat, but he's going to need to take it easy a bit. But then no more chemo, no more treatments. They'll check to see if a month after his infusion, they're going to do a bone marrow biopsy. And they're very hopeful that there won't be any leukemia cells in his bone marrow at that time. A lot of people go into complete remission after 30 days. If not 30, definitely 90. But that's why this new treatment is so incredibly hopeful. You know, it brings people so much hope where there was none before. So let me give you a little bit of background. Brendan had been living in Minnesota. He went to school, you know, down here in Texas. And in December of 2016, he decided that he was going to move to Minnesota because he likes it up there. Minneapolis is a lovely small city, and the outdoor life up there is is beautiful. All the lakes and the parks and everything, and so many trees. It's a very bicycle friendly city, and he likes riding his bike all over, and I totally get it. So it was December of 2016. He'd been up there for about a year and a half, and it was June 20th. We had been talking on the phone and the past couple of days. And on the 20th, he calls me and he says, I just went to the clinic and they want me to go to the hospital for more tests, because he said he hadn't been feeling well. So we went to the clinic and he said, I think they think I have leukemia or lymphoma. And I was like, what? And I was pissed off. I said, how dare they tell you that? They don't know. They don't know without running more tests. It's like they're scaring him for no reason. But he got an Uber and went to North Memorial Hospital in, now I can't remember the name of the town. I want to say Robbinsdale. It's a suburb a little bit north of Minneapolis. And so we went there. He went to the emergency room. I was at work. I stayed at work because I didn't know what was going on. And I really, at that time, I didn't think it was leukemia. I thought they were just wrong. And I was waiting to hear from him. Went to Costco on my way home. I called him and he said he was still in the ER and waiting to go to a room, but he had a room number. And then I went home, had dinner with my husband. We were just hanging out. And then it was like 7:30, a quarter to eight. And I thought, you know, I haven't heard from Brendan. I don't know what's going on. I should call. And so he had given me the name of the hospital. So I just called the information line and I asked to speak to my son. And they're like, oh, he's still in the ER. I'm like, oh, okay. And so they put me through to the ER doctor. She got permission from him to talk to me and to tell me what's going on, because he is over 18, of course. He's 20. So he has to give permission. He is a consenting adult. And I talked to the ER doctor, and that was the first time that I really understood that there's something big happening here. And she said, it looks like it's some kind of blood cancer. His white cell blood count was extremely high. They were going to admit him and determine exactly what was going on. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be there tomorrow. So that's what I did. I bought a plane ticket, got a hotel room, got a rental car. My husband took me to the airport bright and early the next morning, and I was on a plane, and I was at the hospital, I think it was before noon. And it was right at the time that he was getting ready to have his first bone marrow biopsy. That's how it all started. And then this was just a regular hospital, North Memorial Hospital. Very nice people, very good staff, of course, but they determined that Brennan needed to be treated pediatrically. A lot of young adult leukemia patients, even up into their mid to late 20s, are treated as pediatric patients. And it's my understanding that they do that because it's a more aggressive treatment, and young adults still tolerate that very well, where older adults might not. So they moved him to the University of Minnesota Children's Hospital. And he was on the floor with all these little kids going through cancer and other blood disorders. And so that was the weekend following June 20th. So what is that? 21, 22. It was like June 23rd, 24th that he was moved to that hospital. Now, they started doing phoresis immediately because the way that it was explained to me was that with his white count being so high, and they just started treating his leukemia with chemo, and he had a white count of 300,000 white cells per microliter, then if they killed all of those cells at once, and the cells would break open and the matter or electrolytes inside of those cells would enter his bloodstream, his liver and his kidneys would need to process that and filter it out, and it would be too much for his organs, and they would probably fail. So that's why they do the phoresis, where they, you know, the catheter is in his neck, they take his blood out and they put it in the centrifuge, and they're removing all of the white cells before they can start chemo. But then once they had it down, it was between 50,000 and 100,000. Then they were comfortable enough starting chemo. Now, it's my understanding that a healthy person has a white count of around 10 to 15,000 per microliter of blood. So, and if you have a really bad infection and you're in the ICU and the white cells are fighting that infection, it's around 25,000. But they knew, looking back, I understand now that they knew anytime they see a white cell count of 300,000, it can only be some kind of blood cancer. So that they knew. So I wasn't upset about that anymore that they told him that. So we stayed at the University of Minnesota Children's Hospital for a month, going through treatment. This is called the induction phase, that first 4 weeks. I wanted to get Brendan back down to Dallas immediately, but they said that he needed to be stable. He was just not well enough to transport down to Dallas. He needed to go through this induction period before he could be transferred. Okay, so we did that. We were hoping that he would be able to be released and treated on an outpatient basis. We were staying at a Hope Lodge up in Minneapolis, which is wonderful. It's kind of like a Ronald McDonald House for families of cancer patients, but it's for adults. Ronald McDonald House is specifically for children. So he was only there for 2 or 3 weeks because he was there for 1 week because he was inpatient in the hospital for 3 weeks. That's what happened. He came down with MRSA at one point, an antibiotic-resistant staph infection, because chemo, of course, kills not only your leukemia cells or cancer cells, it kills everything else as well, so the good blood cells too. So his counts were down. He was very immunocompromised. And he, you know, we don't know how, but he ended up with that staph infection. And then that stuck around for a while. It turned out that it was attached to his port. So they removed his port. And once they did that, they were able to clear it up pretty quickly with some pretty heavy-duty IV antibiotics. And so instead of a port, they inserted a PICC line in his arm, but that was only for a few days because then on July 24th, he had a biopsy. We were hoping that it was going to show good results. They also put a new port in at that time, but unfortunately, It showed that he still had 58% leukemia cells in his bone marrow. And I could tell that the doctors were upset about that. They were sad. And we were sad too, because we were certainly hoping for better results. But they said that if we wanted to get him back to Dallas, we needed to get on a plane that next day and go home. And so we did. So we got on a plane. The biopsy was July 24th. We got the results on July 25th. We got on a plane and went home on July 26th. And, you know, I check his temperature constantly, especially since he was on a plane full of germy people. He was wearing a mask, but he did start running a temp that night. We went to the ER, and he had to be admitted again. Thus began our second inpatient stay at Children's Medical Center of Dallas instead of the University of Minnesota Children's Hospital in Minneapolis. So with that, I am going to stop my story for now. And the next episode will pick up a little bit about what the treatment has been like in Dallas. I do like to talk a little bit about what is happening around the world with CAR T cell therapy. And according to a news story that I just saw this morning, it looks like CAR T therapy has just been approved in the United Kingdom, which is awesome. It was October 8th, 2018. So CAR T therapy apparently was created in the United States. But of course, other countries around the world want to take advantage of it because there are such promising results and so many patients are having such wonderful outcomes with this therapy. So, but of course, England has socialized medicine, and the headline of this article says, cutting-edge CAR T-cell immunotherapy approved in England, but is NHS ready? So that'll be very interesting to see, because it's freaking expensive. And I know that the hospital is going through the process right now of getting our insurance to approve this this procedure, you know, the CAR T-cell therapy for Brendan. I saw a number in an article that said the total cost is $475,000 per patient. So, you know, if the government healthcare system is expected to pick that all up, I don't know how that works in that kind of government, but it could be kind of tough on the taxpayers. I don't know. But it'll be interesting from an American's perspective to see how this is all going to work out, because, of course, everybody knows that we've been having issues with our own healthcare system here. But I do think it's so promising that it is being approved officially in countries around the world. It was only approved a little over a year ago here in the United States. It's been in clinical trials for many years, of course, but the FDA finally approved it in August of 2017. So we shouldn't have any trouble with our insurance as long as we are following the steps that they think we should follow. Meaning we did chemo first. It's not working the way everyone had hoped it would, so now it's time to move on. But we should not have any trouble getting it approved with our insurance. So please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me online at motinabooks.com. That's M-O-T-I-N-A books.com. And thank you for listening. And we will talk to you next time about the next step in our journey.